Hey, it's Joe. Today's episode is for the men. And you ladies out there who have men in your lives, it's for them too. It is essentially a cliche these days to say that men do not have friendships in the way that women have friendships. There could be many reasons for this, but it's just a fact of life. We had friends when we were kids, up through high school, maybe even in college. We had great friends who we shared everything with and benefited greatly from having the support of these great friends. But we moved on in our lives, started our careers and our families, and our friendships suffered. They withered and they died. And most adult men, especially older men, have very few, if any, close male friends. So think for yourself, how many really close male friends do you have? Do you have any? Today's episode is about a men's group that I have stumbled upon that is making a big difference in my life. It is a free organization, absolutely free, no obligations. You just show up and get out of it whatever you want. I'm going to be interviewing Frank Schwartz, who is the head of this international organization with chapters in most of the lower 48 states and a handful of countries internationally. And we're going to talk about this organization, and there are others that are like it. And I encourage you to look into F3, look into other organizations that are like it, and failing to find something that suits you, start a chapter of F3. It costs nothing, and all you get out of it is perhaps everything you need to make your life meaningful. All right, let's talk to Frank Schwartz, also known as Dark Helmet. Oh, and I have two of the leading members of my local chapter at the end of this episode who have provided a testimonial explaining the benefits that they have received individually from their participation in this group for the last 7 years. Frank Schwartz, welcome to the Wise Athletes Podcast.
Thank you, Joe Lavelle. Happy to be here.
Marvelous. I've been waiting for this one. The people who have been listening to me here for a while, they'll know that I've been doing maybe more episodes than they'd like about purpose. And that's going to come up a lot in our talk here today.
It is a passion of mine, so that's good.
Awesome. That's not how it's going to start, though.
Fair.
You are the head of, and you should tell us what that is called, of F3, which is a men's organization that is fundamentally about fitness, but a lot more if people are, you know, they want a lot more, or maybe they discover they really need a lot more than just getting fit. And so you're the perfect guy to talk about this. I am a member of F3, which costs nothing and nobody gains anything if anybody joins. So this is not a sales pitch to anybody other than a pitch to, you know, have an open mind. I think the biggest obstacle to people like me being able to find an opportunity like this is understanding that it would be good for them, that they really need it, because everybody's really busy. Our lives are full. But was it Socrates who said, beware the barrenness of a busy life? I mean, you can fill all your minutes of all of your days doing things, making money and paying bills and running errands and all of that, and still your life was essentially meaningless at the end. So don't do that. And this is a one avenue that you might go down. I'm currently going down it to find a way to have a bigger meaning in your life, a bigger life, not just a longer life.
Yeah, I love that. Joe, so you got to tell me what your idiot nickname is.
My name is Peekaboo.
Ah, yeah. Because you skied.
That's what it is. You're a smart man. Yeah. You know, I'll have that. To admit that, and I look for you to tell us, but I have an opinion about why do they do these stupid nicknames? Because I was shocked. I'm like, you start right off with an insult. You know, how's that going to help? But you know what? That's a good idea.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
It seems to have worked out so far.
Yeah, well, you know, and I understand that a lot of the stuff that the F3 organization has come up with has just been kind of organic. You know, it wasn't like a grand plan and the genius of men's groups came down to earth and told us what to do.
Right.
It was just like, we tried this, you tried this, that didn't work, throw it away. This worked great, keep it.
That's, you just nailed it. That's pretty much it.
Fantastic.
I mean, that is pretty much how it got started and how it has grown and existed ever since.
Awesome. Well, tell us who you are. I'm sorry. You know, I've been talking a lot here. Tell us who you are, you know, F3, the short version. We'll get into that in some more detail.
So as you mentioned, Frank Schwartz, I sit here in just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. My idiot nickname is Dark Helmet. Oh. If you're a Spaceballs fan, yes. Then, you know, may the Schwartz be with you. and so it just sort of evolved from there.
Very good.
And yes, I am the head of F3. On paper that reads CEO, which we don't know what that, because you got to have paper, I guess, to be an organization officially, right?
I guess.
But the name that we use and the term that we use inside of F3 to talk about the person that is the leader is the Nantan.
What does that name come from?
Yeah, so it's an old Apache word that basically means cultural and spiritual leader.
Awesome.
And we kind of learned about this, and I say we, Dave Redding and Tim Whitmire were the two original founders of F3. Dave kind of, you know, was reading this book called The Starfish and the Spider by Ori Brofman. He talks about decentralized movements and decentralized organizations and how they kind of function. And Dave was, a special forces guy. And so there's a lot of decentralization that exists in the U.S. military. Right. So they have a, you know, kind of centralized command, but decentralized execution. And so he said, you know, I think that's the most effective way to grow this. And so we just always kind of operated on that model, that very decentralized kind of a model. So I am technically the leader, if you will, the entire, you know, international movement, but we have Nantans in every region where a guy sits, right? Because I don't have an authority to go and tell a guy in, you know, Tulsa, Oklahoma, what to do on a daily basis, you know, for his workout or something like that. I'm not going to tell him how to live his life. What I am going to do is I'm going to stand up and do my best to tell him the truth, right? And try and guide a man to being the best man that he can possibly be. And that's kind of the role that we take on in this instance. And so F3, as you mentioned, just to, you know, it's a, We jokingly say it's a men's leadership group disguised as a fitness group, right? It's cause, so the workout is the thing that usually gets a guy out in the morning to come because it's free, there's, you know, kind of low risk there, no barriers, and then usually, like you said, he'll stay for something a little extra, which ended up being usually the fitness is good, but the fellowship, and then ultimately, you know, kind of as you were mentioning, sort of that drive towards purpose ends up being, I think, the thing that really keeps him here.
Yeah. Well, good. Yeah. Okay. So that's a taste of what F3 is about. So here's what I think we should talk about today. It's kind of almost cliche at this point. It's been talked about for so long that older men don't really have friends. You know, they've got acquaintances, people sure. who they, you know, maybe have known for a very long time, but they don't really know much about each other because they don't talk to each other about anything other than the weather and the local sports teams and maybe, if they dare, politics. Men just, they had great friends, maybe in high school, maybe in college. You know, I was in a fraternity. I had really good friends. But you move away and then, you know, and you're working on your career and you're tempted to put more and more into your career because that's how you succeed better and better. That's how you think you're going to succeed anyway. And in the short run, I think there is truth in that. And you get a family started and that takes a lot of time and you've moved. And so, you know, you've sort of lost your friends and finding new ones is very hard, if not impossible. And your social outlets are like the husbands of your wife's friend and, you know, people you work with who right. you're never going to yeah. tell them anything.
Your kids play soccer together or something right. like there's some random attachment, but not. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, women don't seem to have this issue. You know, the women in my life always have lots of great friends. It's amazing to me, but they invest in that. But I don't think that's the right model for men. I don't, you know, just like a woman is not a small man, a man is not a big woman. And our relationships with each other are not like a woman's relationship with her women friends. And so we can't really learn from them, even though they're great at it for themselves. I don't think we can learn from them. I think where we learn, and I'm cheating because I kind of know how F3 works, we kind of go back to our, you know, our teenage years and are on the football team and we're kind of kids again and we help each other and respect each other partly through brutal honesty, you know, even a little disrespect, peekaboo, right? I mean, right. That really keeps me humble that that's my name. What's the point of me trying to impress people when my name is Peekaboo?
Right.
So, yeah. You know, it's these simple things, these simple rules that you guys have come up with are, you know, they're like hacks to keep you honest, to keep you grounded and not be this fake tough guy who you've pretended to be for 40 years. And as a result, you have no friends.
Right. It's totally true. Because that is kind of a, and I don't know if it's uniquely Western, but it seems like it's not, because it seems like that this concept catches on in its own way in other countries as well. But, cool. But I'll say this certainly for us, you know, here in the lower 48, right? Like, man, you nailed it, because that is exactly what it is. We're kind of taught that the only way to be worth anything as a man is to, quote unquote, succeed. And then we've sort of loosely defined that in the society, I think, as accumulation of stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Bigger house, bigger car, nicer this, nicer that, you know, great salary, whatever, good retirement funds and all that kind of stuff. And it was funny because right before we jumped on, you were kind of talking about like, hey, I don't want to fade away here. Like, I want to be functional and fit and be able to do things into my later years.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, many times we end up spending the first half of our life working hard to accumulate all this stuff, so that in the back half, we have no ability to enjoy it because we didn't take care of ourselves. You know? So we kind of have screwed this up a little bit maybe, but that's what, I think that's what the society has kind of been designed to do. And I know, you know, pendulum swing, right? And so there's definitely times when, you know, I'm sure it's been different, but I think the pendulum swinging back this way. And I don't know that it's going to go back the other way. It certainly isn't in my life, right? I think we've seen the a lot of the sort of the softer times, and I think we're ready to kind of start rejecting comfort again and understand that we've got to do some things different, because the model that we're on isn't working for older men.
Yeah,
you know, to your point, because we do find ourselves, you know, our college friends are gone, our high school friends are gone, you know, whatever it is, and I also think that, you know, there's a lot of competitiveness that's sort of baked into this accumulation model, right? In fact, it's funny. I joke about it a lot. My dad, may he rest in peace, right? He had a bumper sticker. This is the truth, and it said, "He who dies with the most toys wins," and I think he believed it.
Oh man.
Right.
I've heard that before.
Yeah.
That's the worst way to live.
Right. I agree.
They say that we trade our health for money in the first half of our lives, and then we trade our money for our health in the second half of our lives.
I don't know that I've heard that, but that, I tell you what, that was his life.
Yeah.
He spent the last probably 20 years laying in bed.
Yeah. That's no way to do it.
That's terrible. Terrible. Yeah. Yeah. Not the way to do it.
And I'll repeat what I said to you before we hit record here, that I used to do a lot more stuff that was, you know, I don't want to be too sexist here, but, you know, it just felt like heroic type stuff, you know, or I'd climb a mountain and, you know, barely get home alive. And frankly, I ended up stopping because I was afraid I would die. And then my kids would not have a father. And so, you know, I had to put that aside. But, you know, at the end of a day like that, I felt totally satisfied that I had achieved all that I could achieve. And I could rest. I'd earned my rest. I'd earned my dinner. And that's how I want my life to end. I want my last day, I want to be exhausted and satisfied.
Yeah. I think that's a very admirable goal.
Yeah. And sure. Maybe that's climbing a mountain on my last day, but I'm not sure that that's what it is. Maybe my purpose, which is yet to be identified, is something bigger than that, more important than that. But maybe not. I don't know. But it—that's what it has to be about. It's some purpose that I'm living for, yeah. And that on my last day, I'm satisfied that I did all that I could for it.
I think that is a really great way to kind of couch it and say, like, you know, that we wore ourselves all the way out. We didn't leave anything on the table. we put everything we had into everything we were given.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, kind of, you're talking about, you know, yeah, earlier in your life, maybe, sure, you did climb mountains and you were worried about whether or not you were going to get back. And maybe that's kind of one semi-extreme, you know, end of the spectrum. And the other end of the spectrum is, you know, guy who sits on couch, never does anything, right.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And so, you know, I think leaning this way toward the mountain side, I think that's part of what we're for as men. I think we are supposed to be heroic. I think we're supposed to be a little more kind of raw, you know, and a little more natural about how we approach life and that kind of thing. And we also live in a society, right? We also, like you said, we have kids, we have some obligations. And so what ends up happening, I think, sometimes is guys stop doing this kind of stuff, you know, the dangerous, dirty, and difficult stuff. And they swing way over here to the, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with Michael Easter, The Comfort Crisis.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's a great book. But he talks about, like, you know, we leave one 72 degree, you know, air conditioned, climate controlled environment. And then we get in a car that is 72 degrees and climate, you know, exactly. So we can go to an office that is, 70, you know, like.
Yeah, I take a shower with perfect temperature water. You know,
yes,
everything right? Is nice and comfortable.
Yeah, it's programmed and it's easy. And so, you know, I think that I reject that side. I'm not the guy I used to be. I'm 50 now, right? So I don't have the same, you know, abilities that I did to maybe do this side. And I also recognize that for me to have impact on the world around me, I can't be on either side of that. And I think ultimately that's what I think men are designed to do. I think that's what we're shooting for. I think that's what we desire in our hearts. I know that's the case for me. You know, I want to leave knowing that I did something that mattered in the lives of the people around me.
And we might as well, to just tack on to the end of that, something that I think we haven't yet chatted about, but or maybe we did at the very beginning, we circle back, and this is the idea that don't be the solo, you know, the hero walking alone. You know, you are going to accomplish more and have a better life if you have help, if you have friends, men friends who are trying to do a similar thing like you. They want to get fit. They want to be a bigger person. They want to help their community, whatever, you know, however high it goes. Find people who share what you want to accomplish and work as a team. If it's just moral support, great. That's better than nothing. But maybe you'll find people who want to work with you on the thing that you want to do. Nobody thinks that going to the gym and working out all by yourself is the pinnacle of achievement in, you know, physical fitness. Everybody knows you've got a workout buddy. You're never going to quit. You're always going to go. Yeah. You got accountability. You don't want to be that guy.
Just a little further.
Yeah, right? You don't want to be that guy who's like, who bails at, you know, the slightest provocation and can't be relied on. Don't be that guy. And the only way you'll be the person you want to be is because you already know who that is. You already know what that means. You'll have to have accountability and to a man friend. That's the best way. And that is what the F3 relies on so much, that you show up because you know that if you don't, you're going to hear about it.
That's very true. Yes. because once you get out there and you get a little fit and you start, you know, getting a little confidence, you get a little better at that whole thing. So some guys, and it's, you know, obviously since it's open to all men and it's free, we get varying fitness levels, of guys who show up. Right. But once guys start getting a little bit in shape and they get a little, you know, get their feet under them a little bit, they start realizing that the thing that keeps them coming out is the fact that they have these friends, right? The fact that they have these guys that are holding them accountable and that kind of thing.
Right.
But I also think that the reverse is true in the sense that I come out because I know my buddies will give me crap. Also, I go out because there might be a guy who's out there, you know, one morning who came out because he just needed to be around guys and is just really in it. You know, just really dealing with it and in the flux of life and really struggling. And I've found that many times, and again, F3 is a great tool for this. But if whatever tool you use, it doesn't matter to me. Right. But F3 is a great tool for this because we have kind of that baked in, what we call a circle of trust, right? So we have that time at the end where it's like, hey, share what's on your heart or share what you're dealing with. You know, we kind of approach each other that way. And it is interesting that the shared suffering, you know, I think breaks down some walls. The intensity, you know, that is there, I think breaks down some walls. And then we, you know, that coming together at the end, I think, you know, really opens us up to being a little more willing to be honest and just say, you know what? I recognize these are guys that I'm safe around. They've shown up here. They went through the same stuff I did, you know, as far as the, you know, they went through the horrible workout, right? So I think I can trust them. So maybe I'm a little more willing to share what's on my heart and say, you know, my marriage is in a shambles, or I just lost my job, or, and societally, I think we are taught again that we're supposed to handle all this alone. Like you said, like we're supposed to be these, you know, Jack Reacher type, you know, handle all my problems and then, you know, nothing can bother me and I'm super stoic and all that kind of stuff. But, I have some strong opinions about where I think it comes from, but you know, any man can believe what he wants about why that is, how that is. But I think it certainly is there. We can acknowledge the fact that it's there, that society wants to reward us for being loners and for being accumulators, for winning. And unfortunately, it's a very finite mindset. And it's, you know, we think somehow you can win life.
Yeah, it's limiting. Yeah. I mean, it does actually work well at the beginning of your life. The harder you work, the better you do and the more money you make.
Sure.
And, you know, all of that, that is really what you wanted. So you're tricked into thinking, I'm doing the right thing. And it is the right thing right until it isn't. And then what? There's nobody there to teach you anymore. Now, maybe some guys were lucky and their dads had good friends and they knew that, you know, hanging on to their friends was important. But I think a lot of people are not like that. I was not like that.
It was not the case in my case. Yeah. I mean, my dad had no friends. He was a miserable dude and he was not a, you know, you couldn't rely on him for much of anything. That's just kind of how he was. And you know, you know, I really think that at this point, you know, I've kind of reviewed a lot of that. I think he did the best he could with the tools he had. I think he really gave it the effort that I think his heart was in the right place. And I think he's just unskilled. And I think the reason that he remained unskilled is because of his desire to be a loner and to think that somehow he was solely responsible and that getting help meant weakness. Mm-hmm. Right. And unfortunately, you know, like you think about like, okay, if I've got, you know, one pencil, like you did this in grade school, I'm sure, you know, somebody did this somewhere, right? One pencil, you can break it. Two pencils, you can break it, you know, but a whole stack of those things.
Yeah.
Good luck. Right. Yeah. I'm going to break that in half. Right. And I think it's funny because we say, oh, well, you know, alone is the real strength. Nowhere in nature does that work. Nowhere in nature does that work. I've never heard of it, you know, like wolves pack, you know, lions pride. We have names for groups of animals because they go in groups, right? But man, oh no, man, alone. What? Yeah. How would that make any sense?
I have some stuff I want to talk about F3 or whatever men's group. There's like a November project in out of Boston and there's others. A Go Ruck, I think, has something similar. And they, you know, maybe they all have very similar kind of ideas with different spins on what sort of exercise they do. So me talking to the audience here, this is not a pitch for F3, but I do F3. Frank does F3. We like it. Mm-hmm. You should look into that, but look into other things too. I would say that the biggest problem is that people don't think they need it. And I say that with some confidence because I have, through my gym, I have spoken to at least 6 different people about this and how excited I was that I found it and how awesome it has been for me. Mm. And people have been like, wow, that's great. That's great. And they don't ask me any more questions about it. And I say, well, if you're interested, here's how you could get involved. Here's where it is. And here's what time to be there. And it's no pressure. And they, you know, half of them will say, oh, that is great. And I even had one say, I'll be there. Nobody shows up. Okay, I believe that they're busy people. I believe they are. I'm a busy person too. You know, but if you know that you need this sort of a thing in your life to make your life meaningful, then you'll make time. You know, you'll down prioritize some things that are less likely to make your life good and up prioritize something like this, whether it's F3 or something else. Okay, so tell us a bit about F3. Yeah. Like, where did it come from? What are the key elements of the culture, the rules or guidelines? You know, I'm not sure what you call them.
Yeah. I'll kind of give you the extended elevator pitch, if you will. And we hate the R word.
Rules.
There's no rules. Yeah, we don't like rules. Rules make us uncomfortable. We core principles. We have principles, right? And I'll tell you why that is in a minute. But F3 started. It was January 1st of 2011. It was kind of born out of another fitness group, another guy, here in Charlotte, North Carolina, who was like, hey, he had been doing it for a little while, like just a free men's workout outside. And, I think he was a fitness trainer. And he just recognized that, you know, there was something good about being out of doors and that kind of thing. I don't remember how frequently they met. I don't remember if it was every day or not. But once Dave Redding got invited to go and kind of experience that, and Tim Whitmire as well, so those two guys were, again, the kind of founders, they were like, this is great. And they were finding that, like, the workouts were hard and they were getting in better shape, and that was amazing. And they started really bonding with the guys that were there, and they're like, this is really cool. Like, I really like this. There's something to this. We need to, like, more men need to be fit, and more men need friends. Like, this is important. And so they went to the guy who was kind of the leader of it and said, hey, can we invite more guys? And he was like, no, you know, I kind of capped this. And I don't remember what the number was, like 25 guys or something. And he was like, that's kind of the max number. And they're like, well, would you consider, like, you know, doing it at different times, or, you know, having a second group or something? And he was like, nope, this is it. This is the group, and this is how it's done. And this way I've always done it, and this is the way I'm going to do it. And they're like, well, would you care if we went across town and kind of did our own similar thing? And he was like, I don't care what you do. Right. So that's what they did. So 1/1/11, they were like, you know what? We're going to launch this thing, and we're going to make it a thing, like, proper. They didn't call it F3 then. They didn't know what to call it. They were like, I don't even know if anyone's going to show up. Right. So they started this thing, invited a bunch of guys, sent a bunch of emails and stuff, and, you know, grabbed friends of theirs that they knew and guys that they liked from church or wherever it was, and said, hey, come to this workout. And the joke that Dave often tells is that, you know, it smelled like a distillery.
The day after New Year's Eve.
New Year's Day. Yeah. He's like, man, guys are sweating out bourbon all over the place. It is terrible. Right? But he said 40 guys showed up.
That's a lot.
Yeah. He goes, wow. I mean, come on, Joe. When's Quitter's Day?
January 2nd.
January 19th or whatever. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like, so he's like, no way this many guys show up next week. Well, sure enough. The same guys, same number of guys.
Okay. And then so they had something.
Next week more. And they were like, wait a minute. Is this a thing? Like, is this going to start being like a big deal? Like, is this a, you know, is there more to this than just a few guys that showed up and obviously the timing was right and, you know, whatever. But so kind of continued to grow. The first ones, you know, Dave led a lot of those because he had the special forces training and, you know, kind of would do PT style, you know, because it's all body weight. You know, very calisthenic oriented, right. Kind of stuff. And so it just kept going. And Dave, again, with military training, said, okay, we can empower these other guys to lead these workouts, and we can start doing this in other places, because leading, you know, 50, 60 guys in a workout, it's not going to work. Like, you can't do it. And then eventually over time, they started realizing, okay, the more we split and kind of have smaller groups, these guys can get a little more, you know, connected to each other. And then he was like, pretty soon guys were coming to him and going, hey, how would you feel if we, like, I took a bunch of guys and we, like, went and did a Habitat House build or something. And he was like, what do I care? Like, I'm not the boss. Like, do whatever you want. Doesn't make any sense. Right. So a couple years in, they were like, okay, we've got to write this down. So they wrote a book called Freed to Lead. And that's been kind of like the story of F3 and a little bit of kind of the ethos of how we do things. Right. And why we do them the way that we do them. But essentially, It took a little while, right? It took maybe a year or so before they kind of really put it down on paper and said, okay, we're going to call this something. We're going to make this an organization, and it's going to be for real, right? It's going to be a real organization. Like, we are clearly on to something. And so they chose the 3S because they said, you know, there's three places in a man's life that he really needs to be right. Like, he needs to be grounded and solid. One is in the relationship with himself, right? So that fitness. So discipline over your mind, discipline over your body, being willing to, you know, to be healthy sure, but also in the other ways, and you know, like you do healthy things, not just for your body, but also for your mind, right? You got to be reading, you got to be, you know, studying, you got to be always trying to be better at your work, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? And they say, okay, so that's the fitness. The second F being the fellowship. They said, oh, well, that is a man's relationships with, you know, other people in his life, his wife, his kids, his close friends, you know, his coworkers, his community, essentially, right? And then that third F is faith. And now, obviously being, you know, born in the Bible Belt, right, in Charlotte, most of the guys were Christians. But the way that F3 defines faith is that we say, hey, a right relationship with whatever it is that you think got you here, right? So some guys think the answer is you know, Muhammad. Some guys think it's, you know, Buddha. Some guys think it's Jesus. We don't care what you think it is. You simply must acknowledge the fact that you are not the king of the world.
Yeah, you're part of something larger than yourself.
Exactly. And that you're willing to kind of submit and serve that thing, whatever that is. So a lot of times that shows up in religion. Some guys, you know, aren't really into that, but they will acknowledge like, hey, me not thinking that I know everything about everything and running around like I'm the boss of everything is good. It's helpful to the community, right? So that's kind of the three F's. And then eventually they said, we got to codify this. But, you know, to your point, if we started saying everything, you know, we start making a bunch of rules, usually rules just means you have to make more rules to enforce the rules that you made, right? And so Dave said, look, we're going to have five core principles. We're going to get a mission together. We're going to have five core principles, and that's the only way this thing functions. Okay. And so that's what they did. So the mission is to plant, grow, and serve small workout groups for men in order to invigorate male community leadership. The problem they were trying to solve is what they called sad clown syndrome, right? Which is a guy who on the outside, because like we were talking about, he's accumulated all the things, he's done all the societal things, you know, that makes him good or whatever. So on the outside, he looks great, but on the inside.
And he's got a smile on his face because it's an act that he has learned to, to
exactly.
have.
Exactly. And so that guy that at the end of the day looks around and goes, I should be happy. I have all this stuff. I've done all the things they told me I was supposed to do. I should be happy. Why am I not happy? Right. Because he doesn't have a right relationship with himself. He doesn't have a right relationship with the people around him. And he doesn't have a right relationship with his creator. Like he just missed these things somewhere along the way. And nobody taught him. And so we're not mad at that guy. We say, well, just come out here. Right?
Yeah.
So it's designed to be completely without barriers or as close as we can get. Right? So there's no professionals anywhere. My role is volunteer role. All the local guys are volunteers. We have one employee in all of F3, in the entirety of F3 Nation, and he's the guy who kind of heads up the foundation, and raises funds. Okay. Like that's pretty much it. So we've got one, and he also helps a lot of operational stuff too. But yeah, one employee, everybody else is a volunteer, and it's kind of around this ethos of look, again, these five core principles. It's always free. You'll never pay to go to an F3 workout ever. Period. Never. Right. The second core principle is it's open to all men, And we don't put any qualifier on that, you know, rich, poor, black, white,
young,
whatever.
Old,
doesn't matter to us.
Yeah. My workout today, right? We had a 73-year-old and a 12-year-old.
There you go. Right. Yeah. I mean, how do you hate that? Right. And what's interesting is those guys can go out and work out next to each other and kid around with each other and be boys again, like you said, kind of recapture some of that youthfulness and some of that raw energy that is masculine that comes from being a man and really just have an amazing time. And then you think about that, right? A 12-year-old kid, right, that shows up there is now in community with a 73-year-old dude. And that 73-year-old dude, let's presume that he's retired. I don't know if he is, but let's presume that he is. And his focus is, how do I stop becoming more and more invisible? As time goes on, as life goes on, right? Now, if he can pour into that kid and that kid's dad and say, hey, I've screwed some stuff up in my life. If I can guide a little bit here, you know, if we can be in community, we can share ideas together and I can tell you some things that maybe I wish I had done different. Maybe you can share some things with me. And maybe, you know, like I hear about it all the time. Guys are like, yeah, a lot of the older guys, they just come and walk at the workout. These guys are 80, 85. Mm. I mean, they're, you know, it's bananas, but they're still out there. And they're like, oh yeah. And then we all go get a beer after, you know, or whatever it is, right? On a, you know, and or go get coffee.
Right.
And these guys get to hang out. And the thing that's going to save us all, I think, is that community. It is that bringing of men together. And that's why it's so cool that it's outdoors, because you do kind of capture that, right? An F3 workout's always outdoors. There is no gym. We hold no property. We own nothing, right? It is just as visceral as, I mean, it's hard to describe to guys who haven't, like, you have to come and experience it almost, right?
One of the principles, maybe you didn't get to list them all out yet, but one of them was like rain or shine, something like that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, good call. Yeah. So the third core principle is that it's rain or shine, hot or cold. It's always outdoors. Right. That's what I was kind of getting at, right? There's no, it's funny. It's easy to say this when we're in Charlotte, North Carolina. Oh yeah. Just always outdoors. You know, it doesn't get that cold here, and it gets hot, but not that hot, you know, but these, we're talking like there are guys, you know, in Fargo, North Dakota, right? There's 3 feet of snow on the ground.
Hardcore. Well, my very first day they said, so anyway, I reached out and I said, hey, I'm interested. What do I do? And they said, oh, just show up Saturday morning. Just be there, rain or shine. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. Well, the forecast was, and I woke up and it's thunder, lightning, rain.
Yeah.
And I thought,
love it.
Rain or shine, huh? Well, we're going to find out. And so I showed up and sure as shit, there they were sitting under a, like a bus stop sign in the thunder and lightning. And I got out and I said, okay, you guys are true to your word. I said, I figured your insurance wouldn't let you do it in the lightning. And they said, we don't have insurance. Are you crazy?
Insurance?
is all recommendation. If you feel unsafe, you should go. But we're going to do our workout and stay and do it with us if you want to. And we got a workout in that day. I learned a lesson.
I love it. Oh, that's so good. I'm glad that they showed up. Because there's some place, you never know, right? It's hard to say. But yeah, it's funny you said insurance. But that, again, that's kind of the beautiful thing of it. Like sometimes because we always do it in public spaces, right? That are, you know, generally speaking, we don't do it on private land because we don't own anything. And we don't have insurance. And we don't want insurance. And we're barely an organization, Joe. Like we're just barely. Right? It is loosely cobbled together.
And that means there's no barriers to entry here. Just get, show up, do yourself a favor, show up, try it out. So anyway, I wanted to, we're going to run out of time, which is always the case for me because I talk too much. Sorry about that. But I wanted to say that there's a lot to this. Hey, I just wanted to work out. That's all that I was after. And if I had even known that one of the F's was faith, I wouldn't have gone. Because I was not looking for a religious experience. I don't want someone to talk to me about the Bible. I want to work out. That's all that I wanted. But there's more there if I want it. The camaraderie, I'm used to that. But I haven't had it in a while. I was on, I mentioned that, I played all team sports when I was a young person. And then in more recent years, I was on a cycling team. And, you know, we raced together and trained together and, you know, drank together. It was fun to have a team of people, you know, of like-minded people who you could hang with and, you know, you had stuff in common with and you could chat with them. And, I wasn't really maybe great friends with them, but it was still a very nice social thing. But, that it wasn't like F3 in that it was very respectful and you didn't give anybody shit about anything and you didn't tell anybody anything about your personal life. I mean, it wasn't at all, the thing that makes F3 great. But anyway, the fitness is all that I was looking for. And anybody who's looking for like a CrossFit or boot camp type workout, and that's all you want, great, show up. Get what you want out of it. But there's more to be had. And I was thinking that I'd made kind of a list of things that I could go after if I wanted to, and I do want more than just the fitness at this point, but there's like accountability, right? I mean, what's the hardest thing about working out? Consistency, just continue doing it. Everybody's got a million excuses. And so, you know, until you've got a, you know, an addiction problem, you know, where you're addicted to your workouts, then you're always going to be, you know, battling that little demon says, mm-hmm. Oh, sleep in, come on.
Joe, even now, I mean, I've been doing this for almost 11 years and I'm like, there's still mornings I get up and I'm like, I don't know.
Exactly. Like, but you know that they're waiting for you to show up and they're going to say something if you don't show up. And that is why you
and
will
I committed
go.
To the guys the night yeah. before.
That's right. That's hard commit is, yeah. is what, you know, yeah, is on exactly. all of the, yeah. the messages. So accountability is one. Friends is another one. So, you know, this is kind of what I started talking about at the very beginning. Maybe that's way more important. Socialization is, you know, it's a pillar of health that is very mm-hmm. hard to solve. It's sort of like solving a sleep problem. You know, the harder you try, the worse you get. But this just happens without trying. If you just suffer a little together, you become pals, at least superficially. And then keep doing it and see where that goes. So you've got a friend level. And then there's like a service level where, you know, mm-hmm. when we're starting to get into the kind of whole purpose thing, how to have a big life rather than just a long life or a wealthy life. Mm-hmm. You have to serve other people. You have to be in service to something bigger than yourself. And it can start with something small, like there's somebody slower than you at the workout and you run with them and you don't have the best workout you possibly could have had, but you had a better experience than that. You could run again after the boot camp or, you know, yeah. I mean, I always go to the gym
and
after.
Tomorrow's another exactly. day. There you go.
But if you hang back with somebody who's newer and not as in good a shape as you, well, they appreciate that. And you're a better person for doing that. So it starts to go there. The next level then, and I haven't even ventured into this with F3, you take your turn as the leader of the workout. You know, if you've not had experience as a leader, like in your work or, you know, things like that, then let me tell you, you suck at it. And if you want to accomplish big things and have a big life, you've got to learn how to do that. And this is a nice way to start. Because people are going to help you with that. And ultimately, it ends.
We're willing to be led.
Yeah. That's it. And they'll tell you you sucked, but they'll tell you what was wrong with it. And then you can do better because they'll give you another chance. You know, do better next time. Here's how you can do better. And so, anyway, I haven't even ventured into that. I have that waiting for me. They keep telling me mm-hmm. that's an obligation that I have. So anyway, I look forward to doing that.
Not about an obligation, but it's an opportunity.
Okay, both certainly. For sure. Yeah. So that ultimately it ends up with this whole idea of having a purpose, something that is bigger than yourself. Don't be a selfish prick. Right? Make the world a better place. Serve your fellow man and make some friends, some man friends who will help you to be the best you can be. And maybe they'll even help you with your purpose.
100%. I think that's actually... When you get down to it, Joe, that was one of the things that kept me in and that I have kind of dedicated my life to a little bit on the other end of this is, I got fit. Yes, I got some great friends. I mean, just amazing stuff. Yes, we pick on each other a bit to keep each other humble, but also to remember that, you know, like some of that stuff that we got picked on as kids and stuff, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant now. And it's okay for us to just have fun and just poke fun and just be regular. Yeah. Right. But then to your point, this idea of personal purpose, I think we all share the same universal purpose. The big universal purpose is to help your fellow man. Mm. I mean, I think that's it. Right. Now what your role is in that, what you personally will do to do that, the thing that brings you life, the thing that fills your cup, you know, that's going to vary by man. Right. But that is a thing that is super important to us in F3 as well. And we, you know, different areas talk about it in different ways and explore it in different ways, but certainly something at a national level that we're focused on and we're going to be talking a lot more about in coming years is helping men to connect to personal purpose, mm-hmm. to awaken to the purpose inside them. Because I believe that the troubles that we have in this world, the troubles that we have in marriages, the troubles that we have in communities, the troubles that we have in government, these are largely because we have lost sight of the fact that we all share a common universal purpose. We share a common bond as, you know, being human beings, and that we have not made the time to discover what our role is. And so in the absence of a personal purpose, and if we've lost sight of the greater, you know, universal purpose, then it becomes about serving yourself. And the serving of self is why I would say the vast, vast, vast majority of problems exist in any relationship in anywhere in the world.
It's unavoidably isolating if all you're after is your own benefit. I think that that's such a compelling description of a possible future for each one of us. Yeah. You know, and I don't know whether there is something similar for women who might be interested. I don't think women suffer in the same way that men do. That's easy for me to say, and maybe it's false.
Sure. Not being a woman. I have a wife and three daughters, and I still won't pretend like I know anything about women. But, but there is a sister group, if you will, called Females in Action, FIA. And it started largely as, like, you know, girls that were wives of F3 guys that were like, well, we want a workout group. And so they started kind of doing a thing.
Yeah, you guys are having too much fun. We want to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And so I don't know, I'm not super familiar, but if women are listening and they go, well, is there anything like that? I don't know 100% about it, but it is similar.
Okay.
And I think there is some camaraderie. I think that they've built it for women's
goods.
Right. So it won't sound exactly the same as what we're doing. It has some similarities, and it is, you know, some of the same core principles, like being free and outdoors and that kind of thing. But it's, I think it's trying to serve the needs that women
Excellent.
Have.
Excellent. Yeah. I mean, men and women can be equal without being the same. I think that a man and a woman make a good team. It's a good pair. They complement each other very well, but they're not the same.
No. And we got to stop acting like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right, Frank. Well, so what else could we tell people? I see that we've got like 5 minutes left. What else Sure. could we tell people that we haven't yet?
I think the thing I would tell a guy if he was just tuning in now, catching the last five minutes, right? I think I would tell a guy, hey, if you're a guy who says to himself at the end of a day, man, kind of like we were talking about before, why am I just, I just feel like there's this hole inside and I don't know what to fill it with. I can say without any hesitation that you've got to find a community with which you can bond. You've got to figure out who your people are, man. And you've got to figure out how you, with those other people, in connection and conjunction with those other people, how you are going to serve your families and the community around you. So I don't care what that is, but you've got to figure those things out. Now, I would commend and I would offer up and say, hey, a way to do that as a man, that you can find some of the best fellowship you could ever possibly imagine. I mean, I'm talking like there are guys that I know, and I can list them, right? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I make a phone call and I say, I need you here right now. They won't ask for an explanation. They won't hesitate. They may or may not get dressed. Let's hope they get dressed, right? But they would be at my, and they would say, I'd be there in 10 minutes. Boom. End of story. No questions asked. And that's the kind of fellowship and friendship and brotherhood that we really are building in F3. And when you have those kinds of people, then I think you can discover, and I think you have the support to live your personal purpose. And if you're living your personal purpose, if every person on earth was living their personal purpose, Joe, can you imagine the things that we could really accomplish? I mean, it would be bananas.
And how satisfied and happy people would be. Oh,
you wouldn't have these big cities that are just absolutely decimated. Yeah. I mean, we're just leaving people behind. It is terrible what we do to each other in the interest of trying to make ourselves better, right? But if we would really focus on the needs and the things that other people need and recognize, hey, I've got more to give. I've got men that can help me, and we can design things and we can do things that will improve the lives of the people around us. And I tell you what, if you can find a better place to do it, I would like you to call me because I'd rather join that one. But I don't know a better place to do it than F3 Nation. I really don't. Right.
And I guess the last thing that occurs to me is that there are lots of organizations that are all organized around a purpose. And you can participate in those if that purpose suits you, if that's what you're after, you know, homeless people or, you know, whatever it is that is meaningful to you. But what F3 and maybe other organizations like F3, I just don't know what they're like, but F3 in particular is more of a platform for developing your own infrastructure so that you can pursue your own purpose, whatever that is, with the support of the people that you meet and become friends with in this, you know, they become a part of your personal infrastructure for then making this big life happen for you and your community.
Yeah, you nailed it, Joe. I mean, that is dead on. We often say that this is the best framework that I know of, and you know, kind of instruction manual, if you will, of a way for a man to live his life so that he can be maximally effective in those places where he's supposed to be. And you're exactly right. People always say, like, guys even in F3 are like, oh, F3 is going to change the world. And I always kind of stop them and go, F3 is not going to change the world, brother. We do very little. We're supposed to do very little. But F3 will save a man. F3 will change a man. And that man will go and change the world.
Yeah, that's the way to put it. That's great. That's the way to do it. All right, Frank, this was really good. I knew this was going to be good. All right, buddy. And the website is F3Nation.com.
Yep. And you can go there. And the thing you do is just, there's a little bar that says locations, I think it says, or something like that, or find a, or may say new to F3 or something. I can't remember what it is. Basically, find the map. That thing will pull up. It knows where you are, and it will show you all the locations that are nearby you.
Oh yeah. And there's a bunch of them. I mean, are there any states where it is not in?
I don't think we have anything that is really cooking in Hawaii, okay. Which is a shame, Joe. We should go launch that together.
Yeah.
And I think Maine for some reason struggles. I don't know why, but yeah, pretty much all 50 for the most part, a couple in Canada. It's kind of gaining some real ground in England right now, in the UK.
Really? Uh-huh. Great.
And there are a couple other places like, you know, Kenya has a couple, and there's, you know, Uganda has one, and Thailand, you know, like, but they're very small. And it's funny because other places in the world struggle sometimes to do this, partially resources, partially population density, I think, but also there are some places, there's a guy that's tried to do this in like Hong Kong, and the government keeps shutting them down. They don't want them assembling. Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah. So there's different places, but
if there isn't a chapter where you are, Mr. Listener, start one.
There it is, baby. There's a form on the website to fill out that says nothing's near me, help. And guys will get in touch with you, and they'll teach you what to do. And they'll help you to figure out, you know, how you could start your own. Because that's the beauty of this, right? You know, you said, we don't like hard sell. There's nothing to sell here, man. I make zero more dollars, whether you come or whether you don't come. It is a mission to get men inside a movement, because we believe that it's time for us to take our communities back. It's time for men to take back masculinity, and that's what we're about.
All right. And if all you want to do is get in better shape, good. Show up.
We got that for you, baby.
Yeah, I'll tell you, when I showed up that first day in the rain and the lightning, I could barely finish. I thought I was in good shape, but man, I did all the exercises I did. I hadn't done them in 20 or 30 years.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you kicked my ass. Congratulations. I didn't think that was going to happen.
Yeah. I love it. That's so good.
It's awesome. All right, Frank, this was great. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right.
Have a good one.
You too.
Here's the testimonial for Bill Driver.
Bill Driver, 43 trail hunter with F3 Waynesville. I've been doing this for about 7 years. F3 has been very life-changing for me. After 2 decades of a very sedentary desk job working in the tech field, no fitness outlets, no gym, no walks, no runs, no nothing, just chasing kids around a little bit. It helped me course correct in a very profound way. Within the first 6 months of F3, I lost 45 pounds. But more importantly, I found a brotherhood of men who genuinely have my best interest at heart. And they consistently pushing me to not only continue my fitness journey, but to continue my faith journey. They give me a fellowship outlet. It's something that I didn't know I was missing until I had it. It was a part of my life. Over that 6 months, I've kind of gotten to where I feel like I'm kind of in the best shape since high school. Here's a 43-year-old, so 25 years removed from high school. It's just incredible knowing that I've got those group of guys there that'll go to battle with me daily, physically, spiritually, mentally, regardless of what's going on. We're outside in the weather or whatever life's challenges may bring us, they're out there. And that means a lot. You know, for almost 20 years there, my lack of motivation, accountability, it kept me from working out. And I mistakenly believe I could just simply pick up my fitness at any time and be back to where I was, you know, not miss a beat. Boy, I was very wrong in that regard. I was not. I was slower. I was heavier. I was weaker. I was huffing, puffing. It was miserable. I actually ran a work-sponsored 5K. Like, oh, yeah, I'll be able to slide into that sub-30-minute 5K. 43 minutes later, here I come just struggling through. Thank God it was over. And that was about 2 months before I found F3. And I was familiar with F3 at that point in time. In my job in the tech industry, I was dealing with a lot of people out of Charlotte, where F3's kind of founded out of. They talked about F3 and they've been going. It's like, well, that's cool. I don't think I'd ever get a chance to do that because, you know, here I live in Podunk, rural town of North Carolina. And the way I got invited to F3 is probably one of the more original ones. I was tagged in a Twitter post that F3 Waynesville was launching by one of my tech friends from Charlotte. And I was like, oh, wow, they're really doing this. Oh, where are they at? They're at Waynesville Middle School. That's less than a minute drive from my house. I have no excuse not to be there. So I then zoom in. This is their launch day. I zoom in on the photo, and there's Geek Squad, who I worked with previously. And I was like, so I text him. I said, what are you doing with this F3 stuff? And he's, you know, kind of laid it out, you know, what they were doing and how, you know, it kind of got launched. And I was like, well, dang, that's cool. I'll be there. I said, I'm actually going on vacation tomorrow, but I will be there. I'll be there when I get back. And I was actually almost late to my first workout because I woke up at 6:45 for 7 a.m. workout. Luckily, I was able to grab what I needed out the door, and I ran in the parking lot. And they got there, and, like, you know, Geek Squad was like, all right, you made it, awesome. And I really had no idea who anybody else was. I'd never met any of these guys before, never even seen them. But my first F3 workout was a real eye-opener, and I very distinctly remember bear crawling around the track. That was what the Q was calling that day. It was a little punk from Asheville. And I remember glancing over at little punk as we're bear crawling. I was like, man, he is struggling just as much as I am. But he wasn't. I was sorely mistaken. He was intentionally staying with me, making sure that I finished, that I got done. I got through the workout. He could have bear crawled laps around me, but he chose to stay with me, pick me up, and make sure that I wasn't going to struggle alone. I remember standing up there. My knees were bloody because, you know, it's hard to bear crawl when you're overweight. Hands were bleeding. And I remember looking over at Ray Huck, and he just handed me his gloves and says, you're going to need these more than I will today. And so it started kind of connecting there. They took care of me and made sure I completed that workout. And the F3 tenet of, you know, no man left behind, but no man left where he found him, it truly came alive that day. I saw it firsthand. I was that man. And I received my name, Troll Hunter, just due to my work in cybersecurity. And I was leaving Jordy. He approached me, Dad Matera, the group chat. And his words were, this group as much as yours as it is anybody else's now. And they're just etched in my memory. I went home and absolutely just buzzing, excited for the next workout. And I was like, oh, they work out on Wednesday evenings. Fantastic. You know, that works out for me well. And so since then, I've rarely missed a workout. And typically the only time I miss one's when I'm out of town. And even then, when I'm out of town, I find out a workout wherever I'm visiting. So I truly don't miss a workout. I've counted my workouts. I've been getting somewhere between around 150 workouts a year. And that's not even including like independent running that I do now. You know, so once you factor that in, it may be well over 200 days of exercise I'm getting a year that I wasn't getting 7 years ago. And while the fitness aspect of F3 is certainly why I showed up, It's only just a part of the story. And what I gained that day was just a deeper understanding of what men truly need in their life. It's like I was telling you earlier, I didn't know I needed F3 until I had it, kind of thing. And as I started hanging out with these men, I learned how to be a better husband, be the husband that my wife needs, be the father my kids deserve, the employee that my job requires, and then just kind of be the person my community needs. You know, being surrounded by these incredible husbands, fathers, and men that are just generally highly successful, that are living life with purpose, they really started pushing me outside of my comfort zone in various ways. Fitness, faith, and fellowship. All of those, there was just getting out of my comfort zone. I remember my wife, like, we went somewhere and I spoke up in a situation. She's like, I've never heard you speak up like that before. And it was a positive thing. It wasn't bad. She's like, you just kind of took charge. You just did it. And I was like, well, I mean, that's just kind of what's kind of come out of me now. And she saw this very significant change in me in just a few months and how I carried myself, how I interacted with my family, how I interacted with others. And she loved what I found. She was incredibly thankful for it. F3 just continued just to kind of just fill voids in my life that, like I said, just didn't know that I was missing. Get me back into shape so I wasn't that dad that was huffing and puffing while carrying the groceries in or mowing the yard or just play with my kids in general. The fellowship provided invaluable friendships, not contingent on fleeting aspects of life like my work friends. They've changed. I've changed jobs. Those guys come and go. Or my wife's friends and their husbands, those friendships come and go just like men's. Or even church attendance, like Ray Church. People come and go to church all the time. I knew that I would show up at workout. I'd be surrounded by like-minded individuals who just genuinely had my best interests at heart. The faith piece was equally significant. These men helped me move past the just kind of a fruitless faith identity I had carried for years. We prayed. We discussed things that matter, that shape us as Christians. We challenge each other. We've been very vulnerable in our conversations at times, which I think that's something men struggle a lot with, is finding men they can be vulnerable with and tell them something that's not great about them, something they need to improve. Men want to think that they're perfect, they're invincible, but we're not. Even going through my own mental health crisis kind of just before I came into F3 and watching me just completely 180 it. That's out of just because that was what I was allowed to do. And even, you know, these conversations around faith even empowered me to get my family and more involved in church, which has been wonderful for my wife and kids. The faith component also led me to serve my community with just kind of a renewed sense of purpose rather than just being an inhabitant of the community. You know, in general, I'll be just very grateful for F3 and its doing. I mean, I'll do F3 as long as my heart's pumping and my legs can get out there and do it. It's hard to believe that in July that we'll be celebrating 7 years of F3 Waynesville. For a small town like this, to have guys that have come together 2, 3, 4 times a week for fitness for 7 years is pretty amazing. And we have 9,000 people that live in this town. I think we've got somewhere around maybe 50,000 people that live in the county. To have this that's came on, and while we may be a small group, we've built a strong brotherhood. We forged countless connections along the way, countless memories, and I'm just incredibly thankful to be a part of it. Just knowing that I can travel anywhere in this country and even parts of the world and find an F3 workout.
Here's the testimonial for Tommy Pinkston.
So I'm Tommy Pinkston, Jordy. I'm 39 years old. I've been doing F3 and part of Waynesville, North Carolina since 2018. A buddy and I were, I guess, what would be called the OGs. We started it here in Waynesville, 2018, I believe. 2018 is one, because I texted him this morning because I forgot it's been so long. So I've been doing about 7 years now. And so he was the one who had heard out about F3 and wanted to start this group. And so we kind of came together and figured out a plan and just really dove deep. And that was about 7 years ago. What essentially brought us, I think both him and I might be speaking for him out of turn, but brought me at least to F3 was initially the attraction of the fitness. Like, the fitness part is kind of the shiny outside paint job that's really nice. You're like, okay, hey, I can get fit. some we can get some guys together and we can just have more of an accountability type of a thing. And then quickly you realize that the fitness that brings you in, it's not necessarily the glue that keeps the group together. It's the fellowship and the faith component that's huge, in my opinion, because I can go join any other gym. I can go do CrossFit. I can go do, you know, bike. I can do other things, and I have. But the F3, I think the glue and the magic behind it is that connection that really comes with being humbled physically, that every man beside you, most of the time, they're going to have some part of that workout that you're like, this is, why are we doing this? This is makes no sense. But that humbling experience really provides connection. And I think it breaks down a lot of the walls as men that we kind of build up in terms of, you know, you go to work or you try to be a good leader in business or you try to be a good leader at home. And you do need to have some walls. You do need to be a leader and be able to have that burden on your shoulders. And so that doesn't necessarily, I think, create avenues where you can connect vulnerably in a way with other guys that you might have when you were in college or when you were in high school or just even in your early 20s when you're figuring life out, because you're supposed to have figured out as a leader of your business or a leader of your family. And so I think that humbling experience when, you know, we have 50 burpees to do, you're like, goodness, what are we doing here? I think that silliness in the time, it really creates a connection. And so that is really, in my opinion, what draws me to F3. I think what keeps everybody coming back, whether you're going, you know, 2-3 times a week or whether you're going once every now and then when you can make it, I think you're not really returning for the fitness. I think you're returning for the connection. And those guys are going to hold you accountable. They're going to bust your stones a little bit when you get there. If you haven't been there in a while, they're going to, you know, if you're not pulling your weight and they know you can do better, they're going to let you know. Or when you really crush it, they're going to be, hey, man, you're doing awesome. Like, what have you been doing? You're looking lean. You know, they're going to lift you up and also keep you accountable. And I think that's what is hugely different compared to other opportunities that most folks have just to get fit. Cause it's more about, in my opinion, the fellowship and the faith with a little bit of fitness than anything.
Thank you so much for joining me today. This conversation with Frank and with Bill and Tommy, this was powerful stuff. I hope you felt so too. And I hope you will check out F3 or whatever similar organization is in your neighborhood, or that you will be bold and you will start one and start the process of making friends to help you to not just live a long life, but to live a big life.